Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning.
How's everyone doing today? Oh, sorry, forgot. Not supposed to sing. I was cautioned not to sing. This is Watcher Ruth, I promise I won't sing. It's 9/27/2013. 7 o'clock, I love mornings. We know this, you're there and everywhere. Oh, wow. Heavy-duty topics today. Pretty heavy-duty. But before I get into the heavy-duty, I want to read something. I received this back in 2002 from a student in a program that I attended, the Mental Health Human Services program at Mount Hood Community College in Gresham, Oregon. Her name is Emmy Martinez Galvan. And she wrote this, and I love it, so I'm going to read it. There are very few people that can change the way you look at life. And then there are very few people who actually witness that inner growth and then appreciate the person that you have become because of it. And true friendship has neither age nor color. When boundaries are torn and status is taboo, all we have and all we will have is each other and all of our eternal memories. I think it's lovely. And that's why I wanted to give credit to Emmy. She was a wonderful person. She still is a wonderful person. I haven't spoken to her for quite some time, but she gave me this bookmarker when we said goodbye in her class, and I still have it because it was so lovely. At the top of it, she says, she puts a Leroy Satchel Page quote, "Work like you don't need the money. Love like you've never been hurt, and dance like no one ever watches." I think that's lovely also. You know, are we to throw out the whole New Testament? Family, I wonder. That's what I'm going to talk about today, and I don't know if I have anybody live today, but I have my guest. Call in number is 347-945-5170. I'm going to keep my eye up on the screen to see if anyone calls in. You know, can we throw out every book of the New Testament but the four Gospels, I wonder, huh? Wow. If we did that, all I'd have is the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, really, I think. I think so. My favorite two books, Romans and Hebrews, they'd be gone for sure. Also, not to digress from that, but there's one other thing I wanted to addendum into that preliminary little thing. You know, we're having a hard time finding people we can talk to that know the same truths we do. And I wouldn't just throw out someone that you can talk to. Might not find someone that you could. And I would say this. A person demonstrates themselves in their deeds and truth. Because words are just promises of what could happen or might happen or manipulations that people have or just plain nonsense or just plain fabrications for the most part. So I want to caution anyone that's listening. I believe that a better record is deeds in truth in history. And when you gauge a person's credibility, that you do it on what you've seen have happen, not the words of some other person that may or may not be accurate. Anyway, and I just might throw in that my little Henny that I'm looking at right here is going to be probably passing away today. Her Merkel disease or whatever it is progressing pretty quickly, and I don't think she's going to make it. And I'm so sad because I had her from a little chicken. I even let her live in my house until she was about 3 months old. So I feel kind of sad about that. But anyway, back to the Paul issue. I've been thinking pretty hard on this and spoke this morning about it, my best friend. And my best friend told me and spoke into my heart and said, I want you to go look at Paul's best friend. Because he had a best friend. His best friend was Barnabas. And Barnabas loved Paul. And he lived an entire life of sacrifice for the testimony of the Word of God. And lived in the shadows behind Paul and only lifted him up. And it's recorded, the first mention of Barnabas is recorded in Acts 4:32-37. And now I'm reading this, okay, from off the internet. All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his personal own, but they shared everything that they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. They were no needy persons, none of them among them. From time to time, those who owned lands or homes sold them. They brought the money from the sales and put them at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas. So Barnabas was given a pet. Joseph was given the pet name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Oh, man, that's an awesome name. That should be my name. I wonder if it's daughter of encouragement. Anyway, okay. Sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas simply meant son of encouragement. His real name was Joseph. Barnabas was a nickname given to him, a product of his character. Hallelujah. What a testimony. Then a man be known by his good deeds. Hey, if you continue on reading into Acts 5, you will come across Ananias and Sapphira. And I just want to digress again one moment. You know, I have a little hair salon. It's actually a barbershop. And I know a lot of people. A lot of people know me. I talk to 10 people every day, 5 days a week. And I don't claim many individuals as close friends, but many acquaintances. And I think that's a really good thing. Think about that for a moment. Sheila. That man is nobody's good deeds. If you continue on reading into Acts 5, you'll come across Ananias and Sapphira. The Bible presents them in contrast to Barnabas. Big talkers. Didn't demonstrate very much. Didn't have very many friends. A bit like Abel and Cain. Wow, isn't that prophetic? That just hit me like a ton of bricks. I don't know if it hit you like that, but it just did hit me. Barnabas' sacrifice was acceptable while Ananias' was not. More importantly, the condition of their hearts was where the real difference lied. Lied. God still looks at the heart. Barnabas appears as from nowhere and makes a big impact. He keeps popping up at all the major turning points before exiting the stage again in Acts 15. Barnabas played a vital role in the early church. His was the ministry that gave birth to others. Some of the most lasting work in the kingdom of God was done outside in the gaze of public attention and approval. That is something worth remembering. In Acts 9, as we observe Barnabas again, this time we see him bringing Saul into the gathering of the apostles. Without Barnabas, the encourager, Saul's ministry would never have been accepted. Saul's conversion was dramatic, yet his earlier persecution of the church meant that the apostles did not trust him. Barnabas, however, had the discernment and reputation. This man wasn't new. This man was very well known. His reputation preceded him. He had nothing but good deeds following him. His demonstrations were of love, not deceit. He didn't just put forward hot words of puff, but actually acted out. Didn't just speak about love, didn't just say, oh, I'm going to do this. Actually did it. Wow, what a novel concept. Barnabas had discernment and reputation and identified and accepted Paul into the fellowship of the apostles. Without Barnabas, we would have lost Saul. God knows we needed Barnabas in the church today. People who support and encourage new believers. Read the account in Acts 9, 26 through 30. All right, well, I didn't pre-do this, so let me go to Acts 29, 30. Wait a minute, is that 29:30? Oh, no, sorry, Acts 9. However, then the other believers heard about his
danger. They took him to Caesarea and then sent him to his home in Tarsus. Meanwhile, the church had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, Samaria, and grew in strength and numbers. Believers learned how to walk in fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Preached boldly in the name of the Lord and speaking, but speaking Greek-speaking Jews whom had argued and plotted to murder him. Sounds to me like Barnabas protected Paul in everything, even though they didn't trust him and others wanted to ridicule him and tear him down. Barnabas was his best friend, stood behind and supported him. When Paul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. They were afraid of him. They didn't believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the disciples, to the other apostles. He told them how Saul had been on his journey and had seen the Lord, and the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. Talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, and they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Again, we witnessed Barnabas stepping on the stage at a crucial time in history of the church. The apostles would have missed the vital ministry of Saul if not for Barnabas. Saul eventually returned to Tarsus, and we don't hear of him again. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem. They sent Barnabas to Antioch. Barnabas is the only person in the Acts of the Apostles to be described as a good man. If good spoke of his personality, then full of the Holy Spirit hints of his spirituality. Many more people were brought into the faith by the ministry of Barnabas at Antioch. Barnabas needed help and he knew the person to call on. He went to Tarsus and brought Saul back from obscurity. The ministry of Barnabas is one of the church today needs badly. Romans 12:5. The Bible tells us about Barnabas, preaching and teaching ability, but volumes about his character. His converts at Antioch took his character, and we read that the disciples were called Christians at first in Antioch in Acts 11:26. Barnabas's life spoke more than his words. Words are just promises of what could happen, or what someone said that someone said that someone said that someone said that someone said. You know, I got to tell you a funny story. I love funny stories. I don't know how much time I have. Oh, I have enough time. As I said, I have a barber shop, but this was a long time ago. I used to do full service. I had a salon in downtown Portland, 82nd and Powell Boulevard. One of the busiest intersections in the entire city of Portland. Anyway, I had a couple, husband and wife, did them for years, right? And one day, he sat down and, you know, when you talk to somebody every 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks for a long time, you know them, you know their families, you know when their dad dies, you know when their son goes to jail, you know when their wife's cheating on them, you know everything. So anyway, he sits in my chair, and I start yakety-yakking at him, as I do, because I'm a yakety-yak to begin with. And the first thing I do is get my clipper out, and I'm going to just buzz the top of his head hair off, because his wife has called me earlier in the day and said, so-and-so, my husband's coming in to get a haircut, and he's going to get a new haircut. He wants you to give him a crew cut. I go, okay, well, that's usually not how I cut his hair, but that's cool, I guess. Weird. So he sits down. I get my clipper out to give him a crew cut. I didn't even ask him how he wanted his haircut because his wife had called me earlier in the day, told me he wanted a crew cut. And you know what happened? I got that clipper out, and the first thing I did was cut a mowed the whole top of the head, his head off. And he said, Dolores, why did you cut my hair? Like, why did you do that? And I said, well, Wendy called me today and told me you wanted a crew cut. He said, oh, Wendy and I got separated yesterday. Don't you know? And I want to tell you something. That was a big lesson to me. I finished that haircut. I had to give it to him for free, of course. Then I never had him as a customer again because now he's pissed. And also, Wendy never came back either because she had lied. So there you go. Test, test, test. Beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. Be as wise as serpents and gentle as doves. So we have here the Holy Spirit intervention. Acts 13 unfolds the first missionary trip of Barnabas and Saul. Inspired by who? The Holy Spirit. God's intervention was allowing Saul, who would later be called Paul, to be trained by the best man available. So let's get history straight. It was Barnabas that pursued the intervention of Saul to be converted to Paul that was having the biggest impact on leading him to be a leader and the wider impact on the body of Christ. In Acts 15, we read of the split between Saul and Barnabas. By now, Saul has become well established in the faith. The account is recorded in Acts 15, 36 through 40. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it was wise because he had deserted them and had not continued with them in their work. Wow, that is so totally prophetic. It just astounds me that the Holy Spirit led me to this on the internet. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. So they separated. There was some serious discernment going on there, my friend. Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Wow. We know from Paul's letters that he came to appreciate the calling of John and Mark in Colossians 4:10. Barnabas brought the calling out of John, Mark, as he did with Saul. Saul, however, was too impatient to nurture John, Mark, to maturity. So Barnabas stayed behind and nurtured him. Thank goodness for Barnabas. For after this account, we read no longer of Barnabas, and the reason is simple. Because Luke, who wrote Acts, was following Paul, and it was Paul's ministry, a product of Barnabas' faithfulness, that the Holy Spirit wanted to highlight. Paul wrote most of the books of the New Testament. His work was a product of God's grace. The success of Barnabas can be seen in the outcome with Paul and John Mark. Barnabas was a vital to the body of Christ. His focus was based on what God had called him to do. God never judges our faithfulness on the last. Oh, God will judge our faithfulness on the last day. Well, what do you know? Faithfulness. Works and fruits, not just words, plans. Kind of like Ananias and Sapphira made a lot of plans, but they weren't very faithful in them, and they even hid some. But I can say that in all of my long years on this earth, and I'm as old as dirt, there's one thing I know for sure. When I weigh a person, I weigh them on what I've seen happen. Not on what I've heard happen. And when we come before the Yahushua in the final day, he is the cardio knower, and he knows the heart. And he knows the color of the heart. And you can't hide one thing from him. He sees you completely naked, stripped down to the bones, even dry bones in a desert. For without the Holy Spirit, you don't have the muscles to hold up the bones. You don't have the blood of Christ flowing through the muscles. You don't have the flesh. You don't have what will live eternally. I take that very last moment and I try to find that Holy Spirit as fast as I could. Make sure I got some good works behind me so I don't go naked into eternity. For the works you produce today are the fine cloth that you wear into eternity. There was an itsy bitsy teensy weensy yellow polka dot bikini that she wore. Oh, sorry, I forgot I wouldn't sing. God bless. Hope you come back tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. And think about today. Spread the word of the Lord Jesus Christ.